they like some other random like epidemiology stuff. Like, for example, you've got a 55-year-old woman who comes in. She has a pap smear. Everything's normal. And they say, what's most appropriate at this time? And the answer is colonoscopy. It's like unrelated to obs kind, but it's like, wow, colonoscopy. Because she's over the age of 50. She hasn't had one.
Okay. That's
really
weird.
But you need to be aware.
Okay.
Bone densitometry is age 65.
65.
Okay. How often do we do pap smears? When do we start them?
We start them at 21. And you do them every 3 years. And then after 30, you could do the HPV mRNA, and then you can push it out. I think it's in every 5 years now then.
Good. So starting at age 30, she has the option of every 5 years if she does concurrent HPV testing. Mm-hmm. The idea being pap smears start at age 21, as you said. That's the important point.
Okay.
But STD checks start at age of sexual onset. We've talked about influenza vaccine. Killed is safe during pregnancy. Don't give live attenuated. Never give MMR during pregnancy. Pregnant women can get arthritis if they get rubella during pregnancy. And then rubella can cause PDA in the fetus / neonate. They want you to know, there's obviously, we could talk a lot about like torches infections, stuff like that. I'm not going to go into that right now, but just like be aware that it's high yield. Let me see. Amniotic fluid embolism versus just regular pulmonary embolism. You need to know that amniotic fluid embolism is the answer when they tell you that 30 minutes following delivery of the placenta, she has symptoms / signs of PE. So they'll say like shortness of breath, tachycardia. It's 2 to 30 minutes following delivery of the placenta. Okay. And okay. She can also get DIC precipitated by amniotic fluid embolism. So she can get bleeding from intravenous sites.
Okay.
Pulmonary embolism is going to be like she had a cesarean section 2 days ago. She's recovering in hospital. She gets up to use the bathroom and now she has shortness of breath, tachycardia. That's PE. So obviously pulmonary embolism, you manage with heparin followed by CT scan if she's not pregnant, VQ scan when she's pregnant. Amniotic fluid embolism is not a clot, so you're not going to give heparin for that, but you manage supportively.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, it's not a clot, right? Amniotic fluid.
Yeah.
Okay. Abruptio placentae versus placenta previa. You need to know placenta previa is painless third trimester bleeding. Okay. And whereas placenta abruption is painful third trimester bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Placenta previa, you diagnose with ultrasound and implantation site can move off of the cervical os up until about 36 weeks. So if they tell you there's placenta previa, let's say at 34 weeks, you're not just automatically going to do a cesarean section. Like you observe expectantly. And when she gets to about 37 weeks, you say, okay, it's still partially covering the os. We recommend cesarean section. Abruptio placentae is going to be usually cocaine use, car accident, so deceleration injury. That's what they want for abruptio placentae.
Okay.
Vasoprevia.
I was thinking about that right now, literally. Okay.
It's one of those things where it's a rule. We've talked about this as well. Like, what you don't study is what's going to show up. So, like, if I don't mention vasoprevia to you, you come out of your exam and be like, oh, I got like a question on like vasoprevia or something. I'd be like, of all fucking things, that. And you'd be like, I got two questions on it. Now I'm going to talk. Now.
Last time, remember?
In my experience in 7 years of tutoring, this is literally exactly what is the case always. Like, it's when I choose not, I'll be like, oh, I'm not going to mention that. It'll be all right. And then the student will be like, oh, I got two questions on that. So, vasoprevia, you just need to know, is when the fetal vessels overlie the cervical os. So normally the fetal vessels are protected by the umbilical cord. Sometimes they're not protected by the umbilical cord. That's called velamentous cord insertion. So the fetal vessels are exposed. They're not protected by wart and jelly. And can you hear that cat?
It's like, whose baby is that?
The cats are mating here in Japan. It's I'm serious. It's like made. There's wild cats here, so they're like
Oh yeah, you know what? Early year they always mate. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's wild city cats. That's like the it's the natural fauna. I'm dead serious right now. So look, gastroprevia is when the fetal vessels overlie the cervical os. They're not protected by the umbilical cord. It's associated with velamentous cord insertion. So the triad for gastroprevia is number one, fetal bradycardia. Number two, rupture of membranes. Number three, painless third trimester bleeding. That's gastroprevia.
Okay. I have a quick question for you. You can
Yeah.
tell me if this is or which one's the one that when you tug at the placenta, is that which one is that
What do you
one?
mean tug at the placenta? Are you talking about placental inversion?
Okay,
Or
yeah, that's what I was talking about.
I mean uterine
Sorry.
inversion. Yeah, so
Okay.
there yeah, so the only real detail I can offer you regarding that is first of all, they're 100% of the time very slick about it. They'll tell you there's gentle traction applied. So they'll say delivery of the placenta, there's gentle cord traction applied. And you're like, oh, it was gentle, it wasn't vigorous. So gentle cord traction, and then they'll say the woman is hypotensive and the uterine fundus is not palpable. That's uterine inversion.
Okay.
Whereas ruptured uterus, uterine rupture would be like they tell you a woman was given oxytocin. They don't even have to mention tachycystole, like increased uterine contractions. They can just say she was given oxytocin. Now she's got low blood pressure and she's got a mass palpated in the upper outer quadrant of her abdomen, which is supposed to be the fetus that has ruptured through the uterus.